Hey yo, peace and blessings, blessings and peace. It's the boy Jarmel Reese, and I want to share my experiences with you. If I had to put my life in one word, I would have to say
ridiculous, man.
From growing up in one of the worst neighborhoods in St. Louis, Missouri, launching a successful music career, recording with some of the top names in the industry, and launching my own clothing line, traveling the world, discovering the power behind yoga and meditation, and how it can heal the mind as well as the body. So tune in to my show, Just a Thought. Follow the story, like the page, subscribe. Let's write the rest of the story that you've always dreamed of. Peace and blessings, blessings and peace. It's the boy Jarmel Reese. See you soon.
Point number one, sound healing is one of the most quickest and efficient means to synchronize both left and right hemispheres, effectively allowing your little ones or you to tap into their creativity, to balance, and to their genius.
We got a very special guest, a living food chef, quantum self-mastery coach, holistic engineer, and co-founder of Supreme Essence.
Yes, sir.
Supreme.
Yes.
How you doing, baby?
I'm good, man. I'm good. All things considered, man, I'm glad to be here with you and breaking bread and building. You know how we do.
No doubt, man. I really appreciate you being able to be here for us today, man, for real.
For sure.
Yeah,
for
man. Sure. And if a lot of people don't know your story, you know what I'm saying, and what it is that you do, what is a living food chef?
For sure. So a living food chef is basically a culinary artist that uses raw food, raw vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds as their vehicle and medium of expression.
Okay.
So I am a raw vegan, if you want to call it that, living food chef. I deal with living foods. And that's how I like to give my art, you know, and serve in one capacity as far as doing the chefing, because it's a joy. And It's fulfilling because okay. I get to have fun with my homework. I get to have fun with what I eat. So
no doubt. And so, like, explain to people what else that you do with this holistic engineering and just the overall landscape of your work.
Got you. So the businesses really have like two limbs to it. So it's the detoxification and the living food chef piece, you know, where we have clients that do certifications. We got clients that we prepare food for and do events for and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then we also certify people to become raw food chefs or living food chefs as well. The quantum self-mastery coaching and the holistic engineer piece is the fact that I look at myself like an engineer.
Okay.
Right? I look at myself as somebody that has an architectural mind. I think in system theory and just what needs to be in place. How can I create the right conditions for the system to be optimized? In a nutshell, I'm born and raised in the DMV. And, you know, I grew up here and, like a lot of us, found myself on the wrong side of the law because of, you know, just growing up and trying to adjust to society, it makes sense to be with your friends more so than listen to your parents.
Yeah.
You know, in my youthful ignorance, I thought that, right? And so, you know, just being outside, you know, jumping off the porch and hanging with friends and other people like around the neighborhood and different neighborhoods, found myself on the wrong side of the law, you know, and getting jammed up when I was about 15, right? And
when you say jammed up, what you mean by jammed up?
So basically locked up, arrested, and then sent to juvenile detention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
Honestly, it was a bit surreal and gritty and transformative.
Mm.
And also, oddly enough, healing in retrospect.
Explain.
Right. So essentially, you know, when I went in that jump, it was probably what you think it was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Definitely was people in that joint wrecking, fighting. You know what I'm saying? Not like it was like on some everyday type stuff and people was getting, you know, like stabbed up. that happened, right? Occasionally. But what something interesting that I noticed is that there was like a sense of brotherhood within the midst of that struggle. Mm-hmm. And through that brotherhood, like, even though, like, I definitely was like hurt to the core because I want my freedom. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's something about cell walls, bars, and not being able to like just go breathe fresh air when you want to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a pressure inside your psyche. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it does this thing where it kind of like drives you a little bit crazy over time. And so you kind of have to transform and adapt, make an intention or a commitment to like, yo, I can't be this, my situation where I'm at. I have to come from a higher level. And so I'd say like it pressurized my system and oddly enough, supported me with this like kind of brotherhood dynamic, because in that junk, you know, you make friends, you meet people from different areas and y'all blend, you know what I'm saying? Like what type of go-go music you was listening to back in the day and who your peoples is, like where you be at, what you do, why you in there, you know what I'm saying? Did you got the plug on some shit, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a whole system.
Yeah.
Within that system, I kind of found myself as somebody who, like, you know what I'm saying, definitely was like on the Quran and the Bible. So I'd be in that junk reading different shit from the Quran, the Bible that resonate with me. You know what I'm saying? I might have one, two homeboys with me. And then I just be in this position where niggas would be like, hey, what you saying again about that shit? And then it'd be like, boom, boom, boom. That's what that shit said. That's what this shit said. And then I remember in that joint finding the first book that actually kind of like awoke in my mind was Elijah Muhammad's How to Eat to Live. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that joint was in there. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like pretty much like on the East Coast, Mid-Atlantic, going into up north, like obviously, like it's a thing. Islam is like kind of a thing.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
In prison culture and juvie culture. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And so oddly enough, that book was there and I read it and it ignited my mind because, you know, Elijah Muhammad started talking about how the food you eat affects the quality of your consciousness. Mm. And so when I came home, I was on house arrest and I remember something just brought my attention downstairs to this bookcase that used to be down here. My father used to have a bookcase with a lot of different books. And so when I came back home, that was the first time that I actually developed the interest and thirst to actually like understand the world around me and read and learn. Mm. And so the two books that he had that caught my attention was he had one book called Philosophy for Every Man. Mm. And so inside that book, it literally was kind of like laying out different spiritual traditions and religions around the world. So it talked about Buddhism, what's the core philosophy. It talked about Sufism as a mystical dimension of Islam. It talked about the Kabbalah. It talked about Gnosticism. It talked about, you know, that mystic tradition of Christianity and exoteric Christianity and exoteric Islam, and it just started breaking down just different traditions. And so I started to see that, like, yo, there's like common thread to all of this stuff.
So let me ask you this. So before this, what kind of like background were you taking on before you were seeing all this book? And you know what I mean? Was it any
What was my viewpoint?
Yeah.
So I didn't have a viewpoint. I could say that looking back, like, you know, even, you know, though I had got jammed up and found myself in there, like everything happens for a reason. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't like a whole terrorizing these streets. Like I just was doing stuff just cause, you know what I'm saying?
My homeboys
and people was doing it, right? And so my mindset was already like, I naturally was like somebody that was like a giver and I want people to like not fight and be on no bullshit or stuff like that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I grew up Christian, right? And so that was a part of my upbringing. You know what I'm saying? My mom definitely used to bring me into church. And I can say that I enjoyed the feeling of being together in community.
Yeah.
And kind of like lifting our hearts to God.
Right.
And that gesture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that kind of always resonated with me. But as I was starting to like read books and stuff like that, I realized that I didn't have a mind about what any of that was. It was kind of like information that was on autopilot. Like, what do you mean? I go to church like once every 3 weeks or something like that.
But you just liked that. You just liked the camaraderie of it.
Yeah.
You didn't have an opinion about it. You just was like, this is, this is it.
Yeah. So that's how I grew up. You know, there wasn't really too much like teachings of none of that history, spiritual, none of that type of stuff. And so I think that's why I was so blown away, because I was at a point where I was so pressurized and I wanted to do better and be better with myself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember being in that joint and like, that's a real feeling, like that visceral feeling of like, bro, like I can't go step on grass right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it awakens my mind to include the subtle aspects of existence. Simple things like the freedom to go outside and go 50 feet somewhere. And so what that did was like, it like fucked with me. And I started to see like my own relationship to where I was at. And I was like, I'm not like these niggas. You know what I'm saying?
You had an epiphany.
I had an epiphany. And it wasn't like, I'm not like everybody here. It was more like, I am, but I also sense something deeper about myself.
Right. And that's what you're fighting, really.
Yeah, and that's what I was fighting. And so to complement that, like, I dive deeper into any stream of knowledge or information that was reading the Bible. So that was Christianity, that was reading the Quran, that was Islam. Any stream that like lifted my consciousness higher was what I like tried to complement that new version of me that was trying to, that was
really just, ultimately that was trying to come out.
Yeah.
And that's a very young age, right? Like, so you were battling, going through those things or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And just even for your parents, how was that hard for them? Was it hard for them to be able to deal with you with that going on?
So my mom got a reputation around this joint for being, she had a reputation for being a mom that crashed parties and like, she'd be the one, bro.
Yeah.
That like, be like, she'll roll up to the party. I remember one time, bro, it was like ninth grade and shit. Just to give you an idea, like how my Dukes used to get down. It was like the beginning. No, it was the day before the beginning of school, right? So I'm down bottom. Like, it's like three neighborhoods going down a hill out there. And so we call it down bottom. I'm down bottom with my homeboy sitting on the porch and shit. It's like six in the evening. I'm chilling with my man, his two brothers. And I see my mom in a red car with the windows down. And so everybody know my mom, if I fuck up, like she get the cussing, she yelling loud.
In front of everybody, right?
Yeah. She got the wig. You know what I'm and so she rolling down the street. She pull around the neighborhood to me. She pull in the neighborhood. We looking at her. She looking at me and she like, Steven. Ass in the car, school night, and then she roll up out front and she like, get your ass in the car. And so I get in the car and then I come back to school the next day and then my homeboys all in the hallway like, Steven, get your ass, get your black ass in the car. So like, yeah, bro, she used to crash parties and shit. Be like, she'll roll up to a party and be like, I don't know why y'all got this nigga out here partying, trying to like sneak out and shit. He's failing science, he's failing math, you know what I'm saying? But that's how she was. But you know, to be real about it, she was doing the best with what she had.
My father
died when I was 5 years old. And so, you know, she had me and my brother.
Yeah.
And me and my brother are both adopted, right? So that even brings another dynamic into, you know, what she's having to manage and deal with on her own.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, you know, my mom and my dad were like, yo, through thick and thin, we're going to raise these children. I'm pretty sure she wasn't expecting him to die.
Yeah.
So it's like she's having to come to grips with being a single mom, working. She definitely worked at 8 to 5. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
my older brother, me and him in the house cooling and shit like that. We got our instructions, chores, and shit like mm-hmm. that. But it's like, we're at the age when we started turning up, we at the age where we become adolescent.
Yeah.
So testosterone start coming through.
Yeah.
We getting a little bit taller than my dudes.
Yeah.
And so my brother is first to like jump off the porch and like just, you know,
stop
do his thing, right? Then I jump off the porch and I'm like hanging out with the fellas and shit. And like, you know, this is a point in time where like niggas is like trying to be off in the sauce and like going moves and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So she basically, it was like a long struggle, right? Back and forth between like just me wanting to be outside and her being like, nah, you ain't about to go to this party that week.
Yeah.
Hell nah, you ain't going out. Nope, nope. And then, you know, so looking back, like, you know, she definitely had to deal with a lot of shit.
Right? Yeah.
And it's stuff that I'm like looking at my children now. I'm like, damn, like, I know I got to deal with a lot of stuff, but now I can actually see the dynamics that I put her through and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was hard for her, you know, it was hard for her.
All right. Let's get into it.
Basically then transformed from this guy that then got arrested to a guy that's into breathing and techniques yeah. like that into college now.
Yeah.
Like this is like, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I'm about, I think 17 going on 18 at this point. No, I'm 18 at this point, right? Because everybody around me had graduated. And like, long story short, I ended up getting my GED in juvenile detention.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So when I got out of that joint and off of house arrest and kind of got back into like, you know, getting a little job out here and stuff like that, I had developed that thirst because I was reading those books and stuff like that. And I remember, you know, in the neighborhood, like, hitting up my boy Dan. And so I hit up Dan because Dan was somebody in the neighborhood that like went to college. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he was already, I think, in his, because he was like 1 year older than me. He was already at the tail end of his freshman year.
Okay.
And I'm like, bro, I done learned so much stuff about like Black people and our culture and like spirituality and stuff like that. And he like, hey man, you know, Dan the Stoner. He like, hey man, you know, man, you might want to come to HBCU, bro. So I'm over here at Hampton, bro. Like, it's nice out here. Then I think he told me that I don't know. However it worked, he had been at Hampton and then Florida A&M
okay.
for about a year. So he was telling me about that job. And I'm like, bro, HBCU? He's like, you don't know the HBCU? He's like, bro, it's a historically Black college. I said, that's what the fuck I want to do. That's where I want to go. It's other people that's like talking and building. I'm sure I didn't say building, but building like this. And he was like, bro, that's all it. What? He's like,
he was looking at you, talking to you like, man, something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. But so at that moment right there, I knew that I wanted to go to some type of institution, a higher learning institution, where like this spark, this thirst, this yearning could be, you know, germinated, incubated, and nurtured, right?
Yeah.
So I like immediately started contacting like admissions and trying to hit up whoever I can find like on the school website page to see how to go about it. Then I did my due diligence. I found out like the person I need to call. I talked to her and she set me up with taking the SAT so okay. that I actually could transition into that jump. And so took the SAT, did fire on that jump, got in the next year. And
that's crazy.
Everybody around this jump was like, bruh, what? that nigga Beans did what? Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, bro. So that was my segue into college. Throughout that time period of me, from me, you know, even having that conversation with Dan, because that was like super pivotal, like in my conscience, like crazy, to me actually leaving the DMV to go to Florida A&M, FAMU in Tallahassee, Florida.
Yeah.
Between that time period, that was when I kind of like went in terms of like studying like John, you know, the John Henrik Clarks, Dr. York.
Yeah.
Phil Valentine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know,
Bobby Hemmings.
Bobby Hemmings. Yeah. But also like the like Quatamani, and like the Aries Latham and Dr. Sebi.
Yeah.
So it's like it started spiraling into history, to ancient practices, to herbal medicine, to breath work and Tibetan.
It just didn't took on a whole nother thing.
Yeah, it started coloring itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just realized that there was very fine points in my consciousness where I was questioning my own beliefs that I grew up with. Like yeah. I remember just maybe 2 years before when I was like just turning 17, like I remember being on the toilet as I was like thinking about this stuff. And I was like, basically like, yo, Jesus, like, honestly, like, if you're God, and if you're everything, you probably wouldn't even mind if I like studied other stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was like, that makes sense.
It does make sense.
And I just kind of like took my concept of God out of this box and kind of just like let it just go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, anyways, got to college, was loosely familiar with the testicular breathing and, you know, how to manipulate energy. And so I started to do that like with frequency more and more mm-hmm. until I had this experience where I was sleeping on the couch. And I was sleeping on the couch freshman year in college. And I remember all of a sudden, like my spine and my neck just feeling like electric and like locking, you know what I'm saying? Shaking.
Yeah. Locking.
And then I started to feel like a pump at the back of my brain, like open up.
Oh yeah.
And then I felt fluid like moving through my brain. And as I'm feeling this, I'm like, also ascending, and I look at myself and I'm over here like fully laid out having this experience, and I'm looking at myself like, yo, what?
You just came out.
And then I look in the kitchen and it's like this light being, like just fucking radiant and blind and standing in the kitchen. And I'm looking at this junk like scared.
Yeah.
Then I look back at myself
and I jump back in.
Back in my body. And then I wake up and my brain is still pumping this fluid.
Hmm. Yeah.
And it's like my brain is actually sore as it's happening. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
And so I'm sitting up in the kitchen, at the couch, looking at the kitchen, because like the fear, I think, is what like woke me up and still kept me.
It gets you back in.
So I'm waking up feeling this feeling. I'm looking in the kitchen like, yo, nothing's there. But why do I fucking feel like this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, days after, weeks after, I started to like kind of look up more information about spiritual kundalini experiences and whatever I was calling it then and there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that kind of marked a point in my consciousness where I'm not never going back to like fundamentally thinking on a lower vibration.
Yeah.
Like it marked a point of no return, and I want to like dedicate my life to the pursuit of this.
Absolutely.
So come in the middle right here, like turn
in. Am I in this?
Oh yeah, no, come on. So I was thinking about doing like a love, like the love box thing with like floating. You know what I'm saying? But this is like a beta test because I want to see if we float you. I don't want a wave to go over your face and shit. So that's why Karaja, me and you are gonna be at his hips, like supporting like the middle of him.
Okay.
And then
just going with the flow.
And then I need two more people to help as well hold and support his weight. Remember, it's water, he's buoyant. It's not like we're trying to lift.
Ah, y'all ain't nothing.
This is me holding him by myself right now. Here we go.
Touch the energy.
Yes, I. So, can you get on this side?
Yes, yes.
Come on, y'all. Give us a little bit, like, far as like where you're going now with business and how it's just led you to ultimately different things.
For sure. So. I ain't gonna let the cat out of the bag too much on like different stuff because I definitely got my hands full.
Yeah.
You know, me and Keith, but we are just doubling down on our pedagogy and the training and the teaching. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just as foundational pillars in the community for, you know, being a healthy, regulated practitioner, working with people, also doubling down on like just the raw vegan living food chefing certification. And we're really just looking at just ways to connect to the community deeper.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're really you know, been in talks and just having all these strategies about how we're actually gonna like create a bigger community and just be a little bit more connected, because there's so much stuff that we want to do that we found it hard previously to show up as, because it's like, it's almost like having the saying of like being a jack of all trades but the master of none.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we've kind of been having the inverse realization, like, damn, we do kind of cover like, and as far as our business, like we cover like a wide range of topics, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
From childbirth to family dynamics to relationship dynamics to detoxification to trauma resolution, to, oh my God,
man.
To dream yoga, to sound healing. And these are all things that, you know what I'm saying, her or me have a level of expertise and depth.
Yeah.
So we're really at this period of time where we have ease, we have the ability to like, kind of like, not sit back, but like we have the ability now to sit back from being, you know what they say, booked and busy.
Yeah.
And shit like that. And, we're just enjoying the space of like creating from a balanced and a regulated place. So we got a lot of stuff planned. More fire retreats, new popping fire retreats, books, newsletters, you know what I'm saying? Cutting edge information.
No mean to cut you out, man, but look, that book, if you don't got those books, you know what I'm saying? Like them books are fire. I'm gonna be leaving the link inside of here so you can be able to get one of those books, you know what I'm saying? And I'll be leaving stuff on the pages, bro. This book, man, fire. When I'm talking about, man, this dude made some of the best food ever, man. Like
Come on, man.
Like, you know, I would have never knew you came from the beginnings from there to where you at. Because when I met you, I'm like, this dude's kids are meditating.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
It's homeschooling these kids. Like, he's eating good. I'm like, dude, what's going on? Like, what is this? You know what I mean? It would seem to people that you like so picture perfect. You feel me?
Yeah.
But I know you, and you know what I'm saying? That's the furthest thing from the truth, right? And so, you know what I'm saying, man, well, how are you, like, you know, how would you want people to inspire somebody being the next you? Like, you know, hey, man, look, that road you going down, bro, that might not be it. It's a little bit more that you could be applying to yourself. What would you want to be able to say to the future you?
Just keep following your intuition, you know, and what you want to be doesn't have to look like what you see. Like, it doesn't have to look like that at all. You know, we're put here in the Lord's garden to express our uniqueness and to be, you know, loyal to that, because that's what God gave us. You know what I'm saying? And so no matter who you're around, if they are not igniting your flame of curiosity and igniting the flame of healthy obsession in your craft and your service, then just don't pay attention. But forward moving, just follow your curiosity. I believe that's where, like, our perfect blueprint of health lies at, where our curiosity is. Because where your curiosity is, your mind is. Where your mind is, your soul is. Where your soul is, you are. And so you're always going to be in this process of becoming what you're curious about. And if you can create conditions around that curiosity to what you feel your sacred purpose is, or how you end up feeling sacred or divine, and you create a business, or create a sacred business around your sacred purpose, and don't let your service to that truth be interrupted.
Man, with that being said, that's going to conclude another week of Just a Thought. But man, let me tell you something, man. This dude going to come back with us. And, hey, man, I want you to come back and start doing some hosting with me too, man.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Coming in sometimes, coming in talking, you know what I mean? Give y'all some good words, you know what I'm talking about? Until another week. I see y'all next week. Peace and blessings. Blessings and peace. It's the boy, Jormel Reese. See y'all next week.